All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Let's begin. We are picking up. Today's daf is Ayin Aleph 71. A lot to do today. We are picking up on the last line of Ayin Amud Beis 70b. Rabosai, our shir this morning, our shirim this week, are dedicated by Benjamin and Nechama Grossman in honor of Ira Grossman's 70th birthday. Today's the birthday. Mazel tov, Amen ve'esim shanim tovos. I'd also be remiss if I didn't give an incredible yashar koach to our bus captain yesterday for Siyum HaShas, to Zevi Daniel, who really did, just to show you what Zevi did, mamish, after everybody's pulling out after a long day, there were a number of individuals who were pasha just lost, from Williamsburg and from mamish, like Arba Kanfo Saaretz, and Zevi's running around the parking lot trying to find buses conversing, I think, in multiple languages in order to be able to find people there privately. It was mamish, like, it was incredible. So Zevi Yashikach, thank you very much. All right, Rabosai, let's begin. So the last line, Mayasa Adam. So remember again, we're still in the middle of the interesting discussion between Anshi Alexandria and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinina. So the Gemara says, Mayasa Adam Yelo Barim Zchorim. What should a man do if he wants to have sons? He wants to have sons. Amar lahem, Yisa Isha Halgenes Lo. He should marry a good wife. They're both saying that this in and of itself is an incredible statement. So they both say, so it sounds like what it's saying over here is that Lamaisa, what should a man do if he wants to have boys and not meaning sons? He wants a son, not necessarily a daughter. So we'll say, so the way the Gemara first interprets this statement is something amazing, which is what should a man do if he wants to have good children? And so the simple answer is marry a good woman. We'll say at the end of the day, the wife is the akeres habayis. She is the cornerstone of the home. And therefore, the nature and the quality and the identity of the children is fundamentally tied up with her. A father could do many things, and a father must do many things, and a man must be incredibly active in the creation of his household, in the creation of the milieu and the atmosphere in the home. And of course, a father must invest incredible amounts of time in his children. But at the end of the day, the true nature and identity of the children is mamish rooted in the mother. Next, Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. V'ikad de'chatzel b'shas tashmish. And a person ultimately, again, Rashi says, v'ikad de'chatzel, a person should sanctify himself during relations. L'shamish b'tznius. That a person ultimately, again, should be tzanua, should be modest, even during the act of relations. I say, I said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinina, harbe asu kin v'laho ilu. There are many people who did this, right, and yet it didn't work. In other words, who married good women, and ultimately, again, were tzanua during tashmish, and they didn't necessarily have sons. Eli yivaki shrachamim mimi shahabanim shalo. Say, Rabbi Yeshua, again, you see these conversations follow very similar theme. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinina says, ultimately, what you have to ask for rachamim from he to whom all sons belong. So the idea being over here that daven to Hakadosh Baruch Hu to have sons. Shene emar hinei nachalas Hashem banim schar priabaten. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim that what does it mean? My kamash so this is nachalas Hashem. The portion of God is sons. Is children. So if you want children, you have to have them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my kamash malan. So we'll say, what is the Gemara coming to teach us? Meaning, if at the end of the day, it's really dependent on prayer, so why do I need all of these other things? To which the Gemara says, the ha below ha lo sagi. That ultimately, again, to teach me that one without the other is not enough. So as I said, the idea being that ultimately one has to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu for children, but at the same time, one also has to put in their own effort of, number one, marrying the right kind of person. Number two, infusing tznius even into their intimate lives. And ultimately, again, one without the other is not enough. So we'll say, again, you begin to see more and more the Rabbi Yeshua ben Chinina answering the Anshi Alexandria that so much of success in life is about these synergistic partnerships between man and God. My schar priyabaten. So Gemara says, what does it mean? The reward of literally again of the fruit of the baten of the womb or of the stomach. What is an incredible Gemara? Amar Rabbi Chaim Rabbi Chanina, bischar shemashin atzman bebaten kedei shetazriya ishto tchila nosin lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu schar priyabaten. In the merit that a man Bose literally translates, literally maintains himself on the stomach of his wife in order that his wife should emit seed first. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and gives them schar priya batan. Bose, what it's saying over here is that in the merit that a man allows his wife to climax first, right? In that merit, ultimately, again, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him with priya batan. Suppose it happens to be, it's an incredible, incredible Gemara, which is talking about the idea, framing intimacy for us, that the job of a man in an intimate relationship is to give pleasure to his wife. That's the chiyuv. That's not just like that's the chiyuv. That's the halachas of intimacy. That's, it was, which is incredible. And the Shulchan Aruch discusses this at length, which also is this idea that often intimacy is looked at as a self-gratifying act, right? It's what a person engages in to satisfy their own desires. But the way that the halacha sees it is, it's an obligation that a man has towards his wife. And therefore, again, his obligation in the context of intimacy is to ensure that she is fulfilled and she enjoys the act of intimacy. And then after, again, her enjoyment has been achieved, then ultimately, again, he's permitted to engage in his own. So in that zichus, shemashin asman bebeten, kedesha tazriya ishto tchila, in that merit, ultimately, again, that is, the man is focused on giving his wife pleasure during the act of intimacy, and his pleasure is secondary. In that merit, ultimately, again, they are given pre-batem. Beautiful. Beshameom. So we'll say that is the end. That is the end of the Rabbi Shub and Chinina Anshi Alexandria exchange. Next, Beshamay. So we'll say, remember again, Beshamay in the Mishnah said something quite interesting. Beshamay said that when women die, all women who die are considered to be in a state of nidus. In a state of nidus. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My tama de Beshamay. What's Beshamay's logic? Inema mishum dechseva tischal chal hamalka. So we'll say, if you want to say, it's actually interesting, we're bringing a raya over here from Esther, from Megillas Esther. So the Pasuk says that ultimately, again, when Esther hears about the decree of Haman, so the Pasuk is Vatischalchal Hamalka Ma'od, which I will say literally mean the queen became very frightened. Va'amarav, what does that mean? The Gemara Maseches Megillah says, Melamed Shepirsa Nida. The Gemara says what it tells us what happened is that Esther Malka became a Nida. Shabbos say what that seems to indicate is that fear causes a woman to bleed. Causes nidos. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, so what does that do with death? Hachanami, agav bi'isusa de malka de mosa chazya. They both say, now there's a concept that the Gemara brings down that apparently right before a person dies, they see the Malach HaMavis. So we'll say, so it could very well be that what? That maybe it'll be just like Esther Malka ultimately again became a Nida when she became frightened. So perhaps again, the moment that a woman sees the Malach HaMavis before she dies, she becomes frightened as well. And that's why she becomes a Nida. She emits blood. So the Gemara says, but one second. So the Gemara says, Agav b'isusa d'malka, I'm sorry, Agav b'isusa d'malka d'mosa, chazya. Is that true? V'ha'anan, t'nan, but we learned. So we'll say, so now what the Gemara is suggesting over here is as follows. Maybe what Beis Shammai holds like this. Every time a person dies before they, not every time a person dies, before a person dies, so the Gemara says, they see the Malach HaMavis. So maybe what Beis Shammai is saying is that fear that is engendered by seeing the Malach HaMavis causes her to bleed. That's why, and where do we see a raya from that? Where do we see that fear sparks nidus? That's Esther Hamalka, right? Vatischalchal Hamalka. So maybe that's why Beis Shammai says every time when a woman dies, ultimately, again, she is presumed to be in a state of nidus. So the Gemara says, but one second. Va'anantanan, we learned something a little bit different. Va'anantanan, shecharada misalakes es hadame. Yet we'll say, we learned elsewhere that what? Fear removes blood. So we'll say, so remember again, we've spoken about this before, that let's say again, if a woman is in hiding, and she misses her vesas, and she didn't do a bedika, we could assume that Lamai says she didn't bleed, because fear quote unquote, removes blood. So which one is it? Does fear spark menstrual bleeding, or does fear ultimately again withhold menstrual bleeding? To which the Gemara says, "Hello, Kasha." The Gemara says, "It's not a contradiction." Pach dot samis biisusam rafias. So this is actually quite interesting. The Gemara says different types of fear. Different types of fear create different realities. If you look at Rashi, pach dot samis daigos yira. So both sides. Essentially, what the Gemara is saying is like this: what we'll call sustained fear, right? Sustained fear. A woman is in hiding, is the Gemara's example. Sustained fear is misalakes es adamim, removes blood. Masha'inkin biisusa. Biisusa means sudden fear. Sudden fear. Or maybe the better word is like this: anticipated fear versus sudden fear, right? So anticipated fear, a woman knows a threat is coming. She's scared of the threat. That type of anticipated, sustained fear is misalikdom, takes away blood. Sudden fear, sudden fright, ultimately, again, can cause spontaneous bleeding. Look at Rashi b'Isusa, havhalas pit'om, right? Literally, again, instantaneous fear, instantaneous, unanticipated fear. Sha'adam roa oshamaya nifhal mirafya. So we'll say it's actually very, so really quite interesting that anticipated prolonged fear, right? Anticipated prolonged fear ultimately has the impact of removing blood, but unanticipated sudden fear has the effect of sparking spontaneous bleeding. So that's the distinction over here. That's Esther. I say Esther Malka, when she hears the news that spark that was unanticipated, of course, that sudden sparks that bleeding. Yet other cases, again, where she's in hiding from some anticipated prolonged fear, ultimately, again, that removes bleeding. Ella, how this man? So what it sounds like we're saying over here is like this, that Beis Shammai holds that pretty much every woman, the moment before she dies, becomes a nida, right? Why does she become a nida? Because there is the sudden fear upon seeing the Malach HaMavas. And that sudden fear, like an Esther Hamalka-like fear, ultimately causes her to become a nida. So the Gemara says, Ela hadisnan, but yet we learned elsewhere, Beis Shammai omrim kalan ashim mesin zavin, Beis Hillel omrim ein zav ela misha mes zav. But say, here's the problem. Beis Shammai also says this by zavim, right? He says, ultimately, again, all men, right, are considered, when they die, are considered to have died in a state of zivos. In a state of zivos. Beis Hillel says, what are you talking about? The only person who's considered to have died in a state of zivos is who? Is who? Is a zav. Is if a man was a zav, ultimately, again, he can be considered to have died in a state of zivos. If he did not die in a state of zivos, then he's not in a state of zivos. So the Gemara says, Ikri kam mibsarav la machmas on so. Because again, Beis Hillel says, listen, we'll say, when it comes to zav, there's even another reason. Because we'll say, even if you want to say, that, now there is a concept, by the way, there is a concept that lemaisa, when a man sees the Malach HaMavis in the moment before he dies, that there could be a seminal emission, right? Out of fear, not a seminal emission from a state of arousal, but a seminal emission as a result of fear. That's what I both say, part of the Tara process that we do is either depending on certain communities, they actually put the mace in a mikvah, right? But other places, again, if there's not a mikvah, there's Tisha Kabin, right? If you pour Tisha Kabin, why Tisha Kabin? Because the Maisa, that's for Tumas Keri. Even though, again, this is a corpse now, and obviously there's Tumas Mace, but the Maisa, we remedy the Tumas Keri. So we'll say, but Beis Hillel says over here, Zav Rabbeinu says is different, because what's the halacha by Zav? Zav, if the Zivas emission is a result of some type of external stimulus, that's actually not Zav. That person is not treated like a Zav. Zav, by definition, is only something that occurs as a result of something internal. But if a person had a Zivos type emission as a result of some type of external influence, then Lamai said that's not called Zivos. So we'll say, so Beis Shammai says, every person before they die is treated like a Zav. Beis Hillel says that's not true. If you died a Zav, then you're a Zav. Right, but if you didn't die a Zav, you're not a Zav. And if you want to say that it's the Malach HaMavis who sparks some type of Zivas emission, that wouldn't make you into a Zav anyway. Because Lamaisa, again, that's an external stimulus. To which the Gemara says, so what is Beis Shammai's Pshat? So we're trying to figure out, so why does Beis Shammai say that every woman who dies is presumed to have died in a state of Nidos? But it's actually incredible. At the time of the Beis Shammai Kedisanya, rather Beis Shammai's logic is as follows. We'll say, listen to this incredible Gemara. Barishona, how you makbilin kelim al gabenidos mesos. Shavu said, it used to be, that when a woman died, and she died in a state of nidos, so ultimately, again, they would be tovel, they would immerse all of the utensils that were with her at the time that she died. Look at Rashi for just a moment. El tamar de beishamai, midrabanan mishum kavod zavin hiskinu, sheit makbilin kelim shel samach lemisa, so we'll say, what they used to do was like this. If a woman died in a state of nidos, and there were kelim around her, so we're not talking about masmis right now, right? There were kelim around her, even if she didn't use them before she died, they would be tovel them after she died anyway, because of potential contact with a nida. Okay? Vahayu nidos chayos misbaishos. And the nidos, when they were alive, the living nidos, were embarrassed. Why were they embarrassed? Look at Rashi. Shafilu b'misasan he mishunin mikol adam. Nabo said, it's actually quite interesting because the nidos felt even when we're dead, we're still differentiated, right? We're still different than everyone else. Nabo, you have to understand something. In the days of Tumen Tara, a woman who was a nida, was often actively identifiable, right? Because lamaise, again, there are so many different ramifications. So obviously, you can imagine, it's not the most comfortable thing for a woman. So here, the women were saying that it's not enough that when we're alive, we have this status, but now even this status follows us into death. Similarly, again, hiskinu she'matbilin al gabe kol anoshim ibnei kvodon shel nidos. So it's actually quite interesting. So Shammai instituted that, you know what? What we're just going to do is we're going to immerse all of the utensils of any woman who dies. Let's both say that we're not going to start being mechalik. That whether a woman died as a nida, didn't die as a nida, we're not going to start saying you were a nida, you weren't a nida. Rather, we'll just make one standard for everyone. Similarly, Barishona, how you might be on al gabe zovin mason. Both say similarly, same thing, that they used to go ahead and immerse the utensils of a person who died in a state of zivos. In a state of zivos, out of concern that maybe he had contact with the utensils. And again, the zovin chayin misbaishin. And the living zovin, ultimately, again, were very embarrassed. And therefore, both say, what did they do? Halacha lamaisa, they said, you should immerse all the utensils of a person, therefore not to differentiate between those who died in a state of zivos and those who did not. Both say, so take a look at Rashi once more. Let's read it now. Now you'll appreciate it. Midrabanan. So we'll say, Beishamai's logic is a rabbinic enactment. To say that halacha lemaisa, essentially, we just treat all women the same. That lemaisa, again, we assume that all women are in a state of nidos when they die, and therefore just treat everyone the same. Mishum kavod zavin iskinu shei matbilin kevin shal samach lemisa, af api shalo nagu bohen la'achar misa. So we'll say, this was the gzera b'shamay. So we'll say, by the way, it's actually interesting, because according to b'shamay, this would kind of fall into some of the, what we'll call the general, like, death gzeras. Right? We'll say, if remember again, like we saw in the Gemara Maseches Moed Katan, that it used to be that pretty much funerals were in accordance with your station in life, right? Rich people would go ahead and make very elaborate, right, tachrichim and very elaborate levayas. And poor, there was like funeral shaming, right? The poor people were very embarrassed that they could not come up with the same. So what would the poor people do? The Gemara says they'd wrap their dead in a machasela shalkanim in a thing of reeds and leave them by the side of the road because they were so embarrassed that they couldn't provide a funeral. So Chazal stepped in and Chazal said that at the end of the day, there's one kind of levaya. Everybody uses the same tachrich, and again, everybody, they didn't necessarily use an aron, a casket, but lamaisa again, same thing. So we'll say, so B'Shamai says, look, we can't create a situation where some people are treated a certain way after death, other people are treated. So therefore, what does B'Shamai do? Across the board, essentially, everybody's treated like a nida, everybody's treated like a zava, right? Or like a zav. This is everyone. So we're going to be tovel all of the kelim of a person after that. And I will say, if you notice again, the Rambam does not adopt this. There's a very simple reason why you don't adopt this. Why? But I said, this actually creates an incredible hardship, right? This sounds very nice, but lamaisa, think about the avoda involved in that, in being tovel a person's kelim after they died. So lamaisa, again, we passing like Hillel, that again, if we know that a person person was a Zav, or we know that a person was an Ida, okay, we'll do that. But otherwise, the Maase again, we do not accept this Gzeira. But nevertheless, even though we don't accept it, Rabosai, the Machshava is so beautiful. You might not accept it Lahalacha, but we do accept it Lahashkafa. Right? The idea being, so as think about the things ultimately, again, not to cause other people. That's what Beis Shammai is saying. Let's not cause people undue pain. There are people already, again, who feel a little bit different than the rest in general in life. Be sensitive to them so as not to make them feel even more on the periphery. Incredible. We'll say, let's go back to Mishnah. Ha'isha Shemesa. We'll say another fascinating Mishnah. A woman died, and a revius of blood came out of her. So we'll say, what's that, locha? So that's a revius. So we'll say, this is actually quite fascinating. So the Mishnah says that Lameisa, again, that blood has the status of dam nidos, so it's metame mishum kasem, and it's metame ba'ohel. Metame ba'ohel means what? I will say that again, it's also considered, excuse me, to be dam min hames. I will say, remember again, very important distinction here. If you look at Rashi, metame mishum kasem, the dam nida b'mashuhu, the imishum tumas meis, lo metame el revius. I will say, this is actually very important. Dam nida is metame with any amount, right? Any amount is it conveys tumas nida. Dam in ames, right? Corpse blood is only problematic if it is a revius or more. So in this case over here, this woman is having an emission of a revius of dam after she died. Well, actually, I should take it back. We'll see when the blood is exiting her body. So the Maase of the Gemara is saying that this dam that comes out is going to be problematic mishum dam nida, and it's also going to be mitame ba'ohel, right? Which Rabbah says is reflective of what? Of a status of being tumas meis, right? Only tumas meis conveys tumas ohel. Well, not only, but tumas meis conveys tumas ohel. So the Gemara goes like, Rabbi Huda says no. Eilu mitame mishum kasem, mipnei shenaka mishum meisa. Rabbi Huda says no. This dam cannot be tame tumas meis tumas nida. Why? Because we'll say, when is it exiting her body? After she died. After she died, nida is only a state of a living woman. So therefore, the dam that comes out of her after she died can't be dam nida. That's dam min ames. That's dam min ames. But we'll say, the nafkamina being that it's only going to be problematic if what? If you have a revius of it, right? It's only a revius of dam from a mace that's problematic, a revius of dam nida, even less than dam nida. But Rabbi Huda says, that's not called dam nida, that's called dam in a mace. Because it was uprooted literally from the body after she died. Umod Rabbi Huda, but Rabbi Huda does agree in the following case. Beosheves al mashber umesa. And if a woman is, Mashi Rabbah say, literally is the birthing stool, right? The woman is in labor. She's giving birth and she dies in childbirth. The yatsa mimena revius dam, and blood comes out of her during childbirth. Shehi mitame mishum kasem. The Rabbah say, in that case, she will convey tumas kasem. Rabbah say, so in this case, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree, when the blood is coming out of childbirth, that she will be mitame mishum kasem. Rashi says, shene'ekar mechayim. Because that blood, we assume, became dislodged from the uterus while she was still alive. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, well, if that's the case, lefichach inu metame ba'ohel. So Rabbi Yossi says, just so we're clear, it's always an either or. If you're metame mishum kesem, then what? You're not metame mishum ohel. Why not, Rabbi Yossi? Time mishum kesem is what type of dam? Nida. If it's nida, it's coming from a living person, right? Therefore, it can't be metame tumas ohel. Tumas ohel is a function of? Right? Dam min hames. Dam min hames only comes from? A mace. Good. Now that's your question. Good about say serious. Rabbi Yossi says, therefore, again, Rabbi Huda, if you are going to say that halacha l'maisa, the blood that comes from the woman who's in labor, ultimately, again, it's going to be tamei mishum kasem, then l'maisa, again, it can't be tamei mishum ohel. Good. Says the Gemara, mechlad de tanakama savar, afagav dine'ekar dam mishamesa, metai mishum kasem. So we'll say, so now listen to this. Listen to this. So we'll say, so now what the Gemara is reflecting on is the following situation. So we'll say, so the fact that Rabbi Yehuda comes along, right? Remember again, case number one, where a woman dies, a revius of dam comes out of her. So the Mishnah said that she's metame mishum kasem and ba'ohel. Rabbi Yehuda says, ultimately again, eino ale mishum kasem. So we'll say, now what's interesting is as follows. Rabbi Huda says the only reason that it's tamei mishum kesem is I'm sorry. Rabbi Huda says that the reason it is not tamei mishum kesem and only mishum oil is because ultimately, again, it was dislodged after she died, which tells us that the Tanakama who holds in the first case that it is tamei mishum kesem holds that even blood that is dislodged from the uterus after she dies still has the status of dam nida. To which the Gemara says, yes, I'll tell you why. Amar Zi'iri, Mekar Mekomo Tame Ika Beinayu. They will say, what is at the fundamental root of this dispute between the Tanakam and Rabbi Huda about the nature of the uterus? Mekar Mekomo Tame. Do we automatically say that any uterine blood has the status of Nida blood? Whether again, I will say it's coming from a normal menstrual cycle or whether it's coming while she's alive or she's dead, that seems to be the machlokes, ultimately Rabbi Huda and Tanakama. Rabbi Huda says the only time that uterine blood is problematic, I should say problematic is Dam Nida, is when she's alive. The Tanakama apparently holds that's not true. Even if she's dead, but we know for sure that is uterine blood. Mekar mekomo tamei. The uterus itself is tamei, and therefore any blood that comes out of the uterus ultimately again will be problematic. Alts nida. Look at Rashi just a moment. Tanakama. Mekar mekomo tamei. Hilchach afal gav shenekar laachar misa mitamei benidos mipnei shahayu bemekar mechayim veafal gav de laachar misa lavroir. So we'll say this is really quite amazing. So the Gemara now is suggesting, we'll say, so remember again, this is case number one in the Mishnah. This is a woman who died, and afterwards has a uterine emission. So there's now dam. Let's call there's a revius of dam that exited her body. So we're trying to figure out what is the status of that dam. So we'll say, let's work backwards. Rabbi Huda says, that's dam in ames. That's dam in ames. It's blood that came out of a dead body, out of a corpse. That's dam in ames. No nida attached to that blood. If there's a revius of it, it will convey Tumas Ohel. Tanakama says, no, that blood actually has a dual identity. That dam will be tamei, yes, because of dam in ames, because it did exit from a corpse. And number two, it'll also be tamei alts what? Alts nida. Why? Because mekar mekomo tamei. Uterine blood, whether it comes from the uterus while she's alive or when she's not alive, is going to be problematic. Alts hilchos nida, which is an incredible machlokis. The Gemara goes back to Mod Rabbi Huda, but Rabbi Huda does agree in a case where she's in childbirth, and therefore ultimately again, blood comes out of her, right? Revius dam comes out that she is mitame mishum kesem. To which the Gemara says, "Mechlal de Tanakama savar ba'ohel nami mitame." The Rabbi say, "What it sounds like over is Rabbi Huda saying dafka in that case, that'll be dam nida and not dam minames." The Tanakama seems to be saying that even that is dam minames. To which the Gemara says, "Oh, Amar Rabbi Huda." Dam tevusa ika ben abo. Say, watch this. We actually saw this before last week's daf. You know what the nafkamina? I think it was last week, maybe the beginning of this week. So the Gemara says, dam tevusa. Dam tevusa is the machloket. So we'll say, what's dam tevusa? Desanyo. Ezu dam tevusa. What's dam tevusa? Peir Shabbalaz Rabbi Huda. Haruk shiatze imenu dam. Bein bechayev, bein bemoso. We'll say, if let's say somebody was killed and blood came out of the person, whether he was during his life, during his death, Safik Bechayev Yatza, Safik Bemosa Yatza, Safik Bechayev Ubemoso, and or Safik if it came out during his life, during his death, Hare Zehu Dam Tevusa. This is the case of Dam Tevusa. Now the Gemara says, no. The Chum say, I don't like that case. We're going to redefine it. Birshus Hayochit Sveiko Tamei, Birshus Harabim Sveiko Tar. The Chum say, I don't like that definition of Dam Tevusa, because in that case, I will say, that's a regular case of Safek, right? That's a case of Safek, because it's possible in that type of case that all of the Dam came out, that's really Dam Tamei, right? It all came out after he died. I'm going to define this in just one moment. And therefore, the Chachamim look at that particular case as a regular Safek Tumah. And any case of Safek Tumah is dealt with in a very simple way. Safek Tumah Birshus Hayochid is Lahachmir. Safek Tumah Birshus Harabim is Lahakel. Where do we learn that principle out from? That is the core principle of Tumah as learned out from Sota. Right? All of that is learned out from Sota. So the Gemara says, Rabbi say, so what is the case of Dam Tevusa? Ela Ezehu Dam Tevusa. Rabbi say, here we go. What's Dam Tevusa? So the Gemara says, Harug, here we go. Harug shetimenu revius dam b'chayuf ubimoso. We'll say, here's the case of dam tevusa. Right? A revius of dam came out of a person, And it began, the flow of dam began as he was alive and continued into his death. So we'll say, let's say someone suffers, chas v'shalom, a mortal injury. And he begins to bleed out while he's alive, and the bleeding continues into his death. Va'adayin lapasik. And even now in his death, he's still bleeding. So we'll say, so now remember, what's happening over here, we'll say? What's called dam min ha-meis? What type of dam is dam min ha-meis? So we'll say, only if what? If it comes from min ha-meis. As well say, if you have blood that came out from a person who is dying, but not dead, so lemais again, that's not dam tevusa. I take that back. I'm sorry. That's not dam in ames. That's not the type of dam that will convey tumah berevius. So let's listen to this fascinating case. Someone is mortally injured. They're bleeding out. Here's what I know. At the end of the day, a revius of dam came out. What don't I know? When did it come out? In other words, is that a revius from when he was alive and dying? What is a revius ultimately again from when he was? Let's look into this. So haruk shiatzahem and a revius dam bechayif ubimoso. The revius of dam is coming out when he's alive and when he's dying. Va'adayin lo pasak. And ultimately he's still bleeding. Safek rubo bechayif umiuto bimoso. So the safek, did the majority of the revius come out when he was alive and only a miut when he was dead? In which case, this blood will not convey tumah. Safek miuto bechayif rubo bimoso. Or a safek, maybe only a little bit of it come out while he was alive, but the majority of it came out when he was dead. Zehu dam tevusa. This, Rabbi Yehuda says, ultimately, again, is the case of Dam Tevusa. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, listen to this. So the Gemara wants to suggest that this Dam Tevusa is at the root of the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma. So Rabbi Yehuda, listen to this. So essentially, here's what you have. In the Mishnah's case, you have a woman who's in labor, and she's bleeding. She dies in labor. So now, what's the issue? What's the status of her dam? Is that considered to be dam that came from a living person, therefore does not convey tumah? Or is this considered to be dam that came from a person who died, and therefore does convey tumah? The Gemara suggests that halacha lemaisa, this is the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, dam tevusa is going to be treated not like dam ames, it's going to be treated like regular dam, right? And halacha lemaisa, again, it's going to be mitame, alts nida, but not alts dam min hames. I'm sorry, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Tanna Kamma will hold that what? Dam Tevusa is going to be treated both like Dam Min Achai as well as Dam Min Ames. Pretty incredible. Rabbi Yehuda says, Haruk Shatzim and Revius Dam. We'll say another interesting case. So another application of this. If let's say somebody who was dying is in a bed, and what happens? Yatzim and Revius Dam. Vayamuta Omita. So a Revius of Dam comes out of him. We'll say he's lying in bed. Now watch this. Vidamo Mitafte Flaguma. Blood is dripping down from his bed into a guma. A depression. Good. A depression in the ground. In other words, so it's pooling in the ground right below him. So what's that halacha? Metame b'meishetipa shamisa meurevesboch. Rabbi Yehuda says that pool of blood is going to be tame. In other words, that pool of blood is going to have the status ultimately again of dam min ames. Why? Because we assume that ultimately, again, there's death blood that is in there. Therefore, it has status of dam in ames. Boaz is incredible. Chum tam, the chum say no, it's tahar. Why is the rabbi say, watch this, Ahmed Beis is incredible. Sharishon rishon nifsak. Rabbi say, get ready for this. Why is it tahar, says the chachamim? Because also remember, how is that blood coming out? That blood is dripping into the depression. Rabbi say, one thing is clear. What's the first drop of blood in there? Live blood. Second drop? Right? Alive. Mepashtos. Sometime later on, it's dead man's blood. I'll say, but what happens? That dead man's blood is coming in drop by drop. I'll say, what happens every drop of dead man's blood that comes in? It's bottle. So I'll say again, remember, that's why we're setting up the case of the drip is very important over here, right? So it's drip. Here's what you know. We'll say, remember, even in Dam Tevusa, we know that the bleeding started while the person was alive. So we know for sure, again, that the initial drops of blood were definitely blood from a living person who was dying. We know sometimes, some point in time, it switches over to be dam min hames. The suffix, of course, always is, at what point in time does it switch over? So Rabbi Yehuda says, since we know for sure that there's death blood in there, therefore, by definition, it's treated as dam min hames. The Chum say, no. As long as you have, bless you, as long as you have a 2-to-1 to ratio, 2-to-1 ratio, because you also remember, again, remember, bitl barov is chad betray, right? 2-to-1 ratio of lifeblood to death blood. Every drop of death blood, because remember again, what happens over here? Let's say drop 1, lifeblood. Drop 2, lifeblood. Drop 3, death blood. So what's halacha? Bottle. But so what does something becomes bottle? How does it become bottle? Right? Ultimately, again, it's nishapech lios heter, which means now the entire mixture is considered to be lifeblood. There's no chozer v'neir, right? There's no re-emergence of identity in combinations of blood. So therefore, again, the entire mixture is batal, say the Chachamim. So Gemara says, I shapir kamalir abon rabbi Huda. The Chachamim are saying good. Nulchamim is saying good. So it says the Gemara, what would Rabbi Huda say? Rabbi Huda l'tami da'amar in dam mevatal dam. So what's Rabbi Huda says? No. Dam is not mevatal dam. Rashi says, beperekisoy hadam. So what's say? So again, Rabbi Huda says, it just doesn't work that way. Dam is not mevatal dam. And therefore, ultimately, again, the identity of the death blood still remains extant ultimately in this mixture. And therefore, Rabbi Huda Shitaso says, we know for sure that there's death blood in there. And therefore, after the person dies, the mixture of blood will be considered to be like death blood. Another interesting case. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Saluv ala Eitz. We'll say if a person literally sounds like a person is being crucified, right? Saluv ala Eitz, which literally is hanged, right? A person hanged, hung, hanged. Okay. Person is suspended from a tree, right? So Saluv ala Eitz. A person, no, really, what's the proper English? Hanged for people. Good. A person is hanged from a tree. Right? A person is hanged from a tree. Shatomo shosei slaughter. So we'll say, listen to this case. So a person is hanged, and what happens? We'll say these are all cases again where again a person is dying, but lemais again the blood is trickling out. So a person is hanged from a tree. Shadamo shosei slaughter. And his blood is trickling down to the earth. V'nimtza tachtav revias dam, and ultimately underneath him there is pooled a revias of blood. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Tame. Ultimately, again, we assume that the blood that is pooled beneath there is going to be tame. Rabbi Huda says, for the Rashi, we'll say, shoseis la'aretz. Rashi says over here, shoseis la'aretz, she'ino notef ala shoseis. And we'll say, now the verbiage, the terminology over here is very important. In the previous case of the bed, what was happening over here? The blood was dripping. The blood was dripping. Why was dripping very important? Because essentially in the sheet of the Chachamim, what happened to every drop? Right? Every drop was reckoned on its own. So therefore, according to the Chachamim, every drop is bottled in the initial drops of lifeblood. This case over here is different. Damo shoseis la'aretz, Rashi says over here, is that the blood is flowing. There's a flow. Eino notef ela shoseis ve'eino nifsak hilchach lo mevata lehudi la'achar misa shehu harbe aval notef rishon batal v'afilo tipa shla'achar misa melu betelish shavar. So let's watch this. So says the Gemara, v'nim tzatak tar v'yiz dam tamei. So we'll say, so for the first opinion, we'll say like this. Because this is a flow, this is a flow of blood. And we know for sure that what? Included in this flow is a good amount of blood that occurs after the death of the person. Therefore, the blood that pools underneath the person who nebach is hanged, lemaisa again is considered to be dam tami. Rabbi Huda matar. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's tahar. Why? Shani omer, tipa shalmisa omedas la agava eitz. People say, this is incredible. Rabbi Huda says, it's possible that the death blood remains on the tree. Rabbi Huda says is, we know blood flows down, but that blood could be lifeblood. It's possible that the blood that comes achar misa remains on the tree itself. So this actually works better if you, it's good to think about, but like if you imagine that they're talking actually about crucifixion over here, so then lemaisa, again, the imagery, as difficult as it is, works as Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda is saying is, there's blood that initially flows, right? Perhaps, again, by the initial wounds, which is lifeblood. But then after a person dies, it's possible that death blood actually remains on the tree and doesn't trickle down into the pool below. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda, nemi ihu lenafshe. So we'll say, but one second. So Rabbi Huda says, interestingly enough, Rabbi Huda says in this case, the dam that pools beneath the gallows, right, is not tame. Because Rabbi Huda says it's possible that's all lifeblood, and the death blood remains ultimately again on the tree. So why doesn't Rabbi Huda say the same thing by the bed case? Right? Why doesn't, remember Rabbi Huda said, what did Rabbi Huda say by the bed case was, where the blood is dripping down? Rabbi Huda says it's tame. Right? Why? Because the death blood is in there, and dam is not mevatel dam. But I, Rabbi Huda, why don't you just say, maybe in that case by the bed also, maybe the death blood remained where? Remained where? On the bed, and didn't trickle into the pool below. To which the Gemara says, Shani Omer, Tipa shel misa omedas al gabi amita. Why don't you say over here also, just like you say that the death blood remains on the tree, that the death blood remains on the bed? Shaini mita dimechalchala. The bed is different. Why? Because ultimately, again, the bed moves. Both say there's an assumption that Marsham, but mentions Susie as well. There's an assumption that when a person dies, there's some element of movement, whether it's the death throes, whether it's some amount of just thrashing that's inherent in death. So Lameskin, because the bed moves, the blood doesn't remain on the bed, but the blood ultimately, again, is shaken off. Okay, incredible, incredible Gemara, Bosei. Says the Mishnah, Barishona hayu omrim, hayosheves al dam tar. So Bosei, now we're transitioning a little bit to a fascinating new topic. So Bosei, so just so you know, by the way, interestingly enough, so the Rambam over here actually quotes the opinion, first opinion of the Mishnah, that says that when a revius of dam exits a woman after death, we actually give that dam both the status of dam nida as well as dam min hames. That's how the Rambam actually paskins halacha lemaisa, which is actually quite amazing, and that's rooted in the shita ultimately of makar makamo tameh. Because literally, again, we would hold that blood that is dislodged from the uterus, even if it's after death, still retains the identity of dam nidus, which is actually really, really an incredible shita. Fine, says you also, let's go a little bit weiter. But in the beginning, we used to say, Hayosheves al dam tar, Haysam ma'aramayim lepesach. So, listen, remember again, we're not going back to childbirth. Remember again the halachos of childbirth, which is, a woman gives birth to a boy, she's tameah for 14 days, right? And then for the next 66 days, she has what's called dam tohar. What's dam tohar? That literally will say, again, it sounds crazy to us, but even if she bleeds, halacha l'maisa what? That dam is totally tar. That dam is tar, right? For a girl, it's right, it's set, different numbers, right? I'm sorry, 1466 is for a girl, I'm sorry. So the Gemara says as follows. So what's the halacha? So they used to say as follows. In the beginning, when a woman was in her state of dam tohar, that literally, again, she could pour water for the Pesach. If you look at Rashi, it's actually quite interesting. Rashi says, ma'aramayim lepesach, mikliya kli lirchotz boaz basara pesach. She could pour water from one utensil to another utensil to clean the meat of the Karban Pesach. Avamayim eno nogaz, but she can't touch the water itself. Shehi tevulas yom, shetavlo l'sof shvuayim, ve'ein laher of shemesh ad yom shmonim, shutekef lahavaz kaparasa. So we'll say, it's actually very interesting. The Gemara suggests over here that halacha l'maisa, a woman is considered to be in a state of what's called a tevul yom. Because we know what a tevul yom is, that's someone who went to the mikvah, but is awaiting hair of shemesh. So we'll say in this case over here, a woman goes to the mikvah at the end of 14 days, but ultimately again, or I should say her yimei tara begins at the end of 14 days, but for the next 66 days, we'll just use the case of a girl, because that's what Rashi uses, she has the status of a tevul yom. So therefore again, we allow her to transfer the water from one utensil to another utensil that's going to be used to wash the Karban Pesach, but we don't let her touch the water itself. Chazru lomar, they went back and they said, Harehi kemaga tame meis lekotshim. They went back and they said, you know what? Her status is really like someone who touches a tame meis, like a rishon. For kotshim purposes, kedivrei beis hillel. Beis Shammai says, no, afke tame meis. She is treated like a tame meis herself. So Bosei says, interestingly enough, a progression in her status. Originally, they treated her like a tevul yom. Therefore, she could come in contact with the water to wash the carpet. She could pour from kli to kli, but she can't touch the water. Then they changed her status ultimately to a rishon, and they went back and they changed her status again, ultimately again like Tommy Mace itself. Says the Gemara, ma'are in no ga'aslo. She can pour the water to clean the carpet Pesach, but she can't touch the water. Alma, what do you see from here? Chulin shenas v'altaras hakodesh kodesh hamin. Now, saying that water is chulin, right? But that water is going to be used ultimately again for something kodesh. So it's chulin that's being prepared ultimately again with like the strictures of kodesh. And you see from here that chulin that is being prepared with the strictures of kodesh has the status of kodesh. That's why this woman who is considered to be a tevul yom is not permitted to come in contact with the water. I am a sefer. Yeah, look at the sefer. Chazru lomar harehi kimago tamemes lekodshim. And also look at the sefer of the Mishnah. They went back and they said that she is like someone who touches the tamei meis for kachim purposes. What do you see from here? Lekachim and lechulin lo. They dafka gave her that status for kachim, but not for chulin. Alma Chulin Shnaso Taras HaKodesh, Lafki Kodesh Damu. What do you see from here? That Chulin prepared with the strictures of Kodesh are not like Kodesh. To which the Gemara says, which one is it? Masnisin Mani Abashal Hi, Disan Yabashal Omer, Tvul Yom Techila LeKodesh, Letame Shnaim, Velifsal Echar. So we'll say Abashal holds that a Tvul Yom Abose is treated like a Rishon. A Tvul Yom has the status of a Rishon, Letame Shnaim. But Abose, right, a Tvul Yom who is a Rishon has the ability to what? To make something a Sheni. That Sheni can make something a Shlishi, and a Shlishi has the ability to make something a Revi'i. I will say, but by a Revi'i, what's the halacha? Remember, we've had this before. A Revi'i is no longer called a Revi'i. What is a Revi'i called? A Revi'i is called Pasul. Why is it called Pasul? Because a Revi'i itself could be in a state of invalidation, but what? Does not have the ability to pass anything else on. We'll say, let's just do one more piece. Umodeshi ocheles b'meiser, but tful yom. We'll say, still, I'm sorry, this is the Isha, this is the Yoledes, right? This is the woman in her Yemei Tara. Right, so a woman in her Yemei Tara, who we've now pretty much established, has the status of a Tvul Yom, has the ability to eat Meiser Sheni. V'kotza l'chala, she could separate out chala from a dough. U'makefes, so we'll say what she does is, she doesn't separate chala. Before she calls anything chala, she separates out a piece from the larger dough, a piece from the larger dough. She puts that piece of the separated piece, next to the larger dough. U'makefes. V'kor l'shem. And then after she's placed down the piece of challah next to the larger dough, she hasn't yet called it challah, after she puts it down and is no longer touching it, then she calls it challah. V'kor l'shem. V'enafa miroko midam tara ala kikar shel truma. And if some of her saliva or blood, right, which was dam tar, falls on a loaf of truma, it's tar. Right, b'shamei omrim tzricha tvila b'achrona. We'll say what happens. Fast forward to the end of her Yemei Tar, the end of the 66 days. B'shamei says she has to go to the mikvah again. Or b'silla omrim ina tzricha tvila b'achrona. B'silla says no, she does not need to go to the mikvah again. We'll say one more line. Damar mar tava va'ala ochel b'meiser. Rabosa, listen to this, because the halacha is, once, Rabosa, remember again, at the end of 14 days, she goes to the mikvah. Right? After that initial immersion, she's permitted to eat Meiser Sheni. That's reflecting in the view of the Mishnah. The Kotz Lachal, we'll say, fine, one more line. Was it, well, actually, no, we'll stop. Well, fine. The Kotz Lachal, we'll say, because Lachal means like this. She has a dough. She has to separate a challah from that dough. So we'll say, what is, the Mishnah outlines a very interesting procedure. Separate a piece of the dough. Don't call it anything. Don't call it anything. Rather, what do you do? Separate it out, right? Separate it out. Put it down in a utensil next to the larger dough, and then call it challah. The kotz l'challah, chulin hatavulin l'challah, lafke challah damu. Because it will say this way, chulin separated from challah, even though, right from something that's going to, has the challah has to be taken from, and not yet called challah, is called chulin. So we'll say, she's a tful yom. We don't really want her touching challah. So we do something very simple. Have her separate out the piece of dough. Don't call it anything yet. Put it down in a kli next to the larger dough. Then what? Then call it challah. Now the beauty of doing that is what? It's called challah when what? She's no longer having contact with it, therefore not conveying any kind of tum to the challah. But we'll stop over for today. We'll be going to do that tomorrow.